Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Hitting the back half of the week, and we got to talk some NBA basketball. King right now, as far as the national sports is concerned. Get a week off from the NFL, the Super Bowl, still a good week away, and so right now, a lot of trade chatter is popping up. You know, we've talked a lot about potential destinations for some star players. We'll dive into that. We'll take a look at what the trade deadline could bring for some teams as we gear up for what's the most important tab of the NBA season. Joining us right now, we have our NBA analyst. He is James Holis. James, it's a pleasure to get you back on what is a very crucial time, to say the least.
Ooh, bud, it feels like it's been 4 or 5 years since we talked, but only been a couple weeks. And yeah, we're in the dog days of the season, but we got a lot going on, so let's hop in.
Let's start by talking about Giannis. He seems to be preparing for an exit. I think, according to reports, he wants to go to Minnesota. Think this could be dangerous, right? You take a look at Giannis and Ant. I don't know. What's the best spot for him, and who do you see being the most aggressive to try to win the Giannis sweepstakes here over the next week?
It's funny because this is that couple that we've known. Like, we all have that couple that we know that everyone knows they're not going to last, and they have some good times, and they won their championship. But since then, the writing's been on the wall for the Bucks and Giannis. And credit to the Bucks, they've kind of tried to do everything they could. Their intentions were in the right place. But we all knew this was coming. So, obviously a team like the Knicks is also going to be in the mix, right? They got the pieces. Don't know if they're willing to really for the upheaval. And I don't know if the Bucks want a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns, but they can make it happen in a lot of ways. I feel like Miami's going to be aggressive, right? They're always star chasing in Miami. The Warriors are always star chasing. We've been hearing it. I don't know if the pieces they have. I don't know if they can trade their 93 Miata and their mountain bikes for the Lamborghini. That is Giannis, but they're going to try. Just maybe 18 months ago when Giannis didn't start having the physical problems and the cap environment wasn't quite what it is now as far as the second apron, teams would have moved heaven and earth. You know, probably like 27 teams would move heaven and earth to get Giannis. But with the implications these days and with the strength of the West, getting Giannis doesn't automatically make you a contender. So, interesting times, but Giannis is definitely going to have a new home. If not by the trade deadline, then next summer he will no longer be a Buck.
It almost feels like it makes more sense for a contending team to pull the trigger on a Giannis deal in the offseason. I feel like rarely can you see a contending team. You just mentioned it a moment ago. What are you going to give up, right, and stay in contention? And if you're a contender right now, do you want to mess with chemistry? And I don't want to hear anyone bring up the Lakers and Mavericks from a year ago, because neither of those two teams were serious contenders when they pulled off that blockbuster deal. Now, I think we can use that trade as a reference, right, because the market resets. We haven't seen a superstar moved since that deal, so I don't even know what this market looks like for Giannis. I just don't know if it makes sense for a team to go all in, and we're talking about dropping 6-7 assets, including some draft picks, right, included in that 6 or 7 mark, for a guy I don't know if it can put you over the top in February. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, and it's funny because Giannis is a consensus top 3-4 player in the league, right? And by some people's metrics, he might be the best player in the league. But just, again, you have to give up a lot to get a lot. So are you going to rob Peter to pay Paul by bringing this great guy but giving up, you know, 2 or 3 of your best guys? So now you're the same level of team you were before. And obviously the Bucks are going to want draft picks. They're going to want maybe some young guys with potential. So what team's going to give up some top-shelf draft picks and give up guys who can actually play? And, again, he might be incrementally better right now. Giannis, there's always a question about his health right now, right? I think over the last few years, Giannis has missed a big chunk of every season with varying injuries, right? It's not one thing, but now he's starting to have issues with, like, the hammies and the knees. So, and he's not a spring chicken. He's not old. He's still amazing, but, the teams have to think about this kind of thing. So, yeah, the summer would probably be a lot better. Like you said, a contender's good because of the players they have. And you trade for Giannis, now your whole system has to be different. So, very interesting situation. Like you said, the Luka trade kind of skews people's visions. Mikal Bridges going for all the draft picks that he went for is kind of weird, and it makes people think. But, yeah, it's a very interesting time. Like, it's not a great market for a superstar right now if you're trying to get traded.
Let me put it this way. Does he go some – well, first off, do you think he gets traded within the next week? Do you think this happens?
I would not be shocked because once the time is up with a guy like Giannis, right, he takes a lot of oxygen in that franchise. Everything has been – the sun has risen and set on Giannis in that franchise for years, as it should have. So now we're at that point where it's, you know, it's pretty much open. It's time to move on. What's the next step? You don't want him sitting on the bench. He's not going to sit on the bench while you play. I know he's injured right now. Are you going to just send him home? And then are you tanking? So I think it's probably best for all if they could find a move for him right now. But, again, it's the value. So I'm going to go out on a limb. I'll say yeah. So sure. He will not be there by the trade deadline.
All right. And whatever team he goes to, do they compete for a championship this year?
So Giannis is actually that good, right? He's if not right there, he's just a half cut below a guy like Joker, where you put Joker on a team and you give him shooters and, you know, some time to gel, and you're probably going to be a contender because he's going to be the best player on the floor most times. So Giannis is right there and almost at that level. So if you're training for Giannis, I think you got to punch your chance.
Outside of Giannis, let's take a look at some of the other players that may be some of the more intriguing names. And for me, I'm kind of fascinated to see what Golden State does with Jonathan Kuminga. I also feel like we've been talking about this for 2 to 3 years. It's like, my goodness, can we just get a resolution to this? But I think it is one of the more interesting trade pieces and trade talks and situations around the league as we approach the deadline. Where does Kuminga go? Where does it make the most sense?
And so this is the Bucks. The Warriors have been like, they're that blackjack player who's sitting at the table, and somehow they say, okay, I'm ready to hold. Hit me. But they're already at 24, right? I think the time for them to make a really good Kuminga move was probably three or two years ago when he still had a lot of potential tantalizing potential, and his value was higher than what we've actually seen from him. Now you put a $25 million contract with him, and we kind of see what he is. There's not a lot of teams, right? So it's a sad situation for all involved, especially for him. I think the team has been franchise malfeasance. You can't have your cake and eat it, too. You're going to play him, and you're going to keep him and develop him, do it. But now you've always restricted him, and now you have this player that, you know, you're playing because you have to, and now he's hurt. So, they kind of missed the boat on high value. They're going to have to take 75 cents for that dollar when they trade him. We know the Kings are in the mix. We know Phoenix is in the mix. Maybe a team like the Nets wants to get in. I've heard teams like Charlotte. Charlotte may package some things and get him out of there. But he's a super talented guy who can do more than what we've seen. We've seen him play at the highest level at certain points. He just hasn't had the reps and the continuity. So I feel bad for the guy, but it couldn't happen to a better team than the Warriors. I'm always going to hate the Warriors.
Nah, I know that, right? Like, you are a habitual Warrior hater.
Listen, I respect them because they obviously the pedigree. Steph Curry is amazing. Going to go down top 10. They've done incredible things, but they beat my Celtics in 2022. So forever, I'm going to embrace their downfall.
What can they do to at least compete in the Western Conference among the best? And the reason I bring this question up is because nobody ever wants to see a legend flounder in the closing years of his career. Nobody wants to. I'm going to tell you, as a Laker guy, I didn't want. It's sad when you go back and you take a look at the team that Kobe ended his career on. It was sad, right? And so the Warriors have done everything that they could over the last 2 to 3 years to try to remain relevant in the Western Conference. What can they do over the next few days that keeps them A, out of the play-in round, and B, a team that we legitimately have to worry about come postseason time?
So honestly, that sliding door moment passed a long time ago. Because what they could have done was drafted Halliburton or drafted somebody instead of James Wiseman. That's where it all went down. You had a number 2 pick, and then you had a number 7 pick, and you picked one guy who was, let's be honest, an NBA bust. I'm sure he's a nice guy, James Wiseman bust. And then Kuminga just didn't fit. You knew he didn't fit. He was a slasher and a scorer who wasn't a strong shooter back then. But you drafted him. So you drafted. The front office, again, they did a grave injustice to Steph Curry by not replenishing the cupboards when they could have with high-end draft picks. Moses Moody, good pick, good player, not a star. So now you're stuck with this Steph Curry Cadillac of a player, number one, absolute number one option. But then his next best players should be like the fourth or fifth or third or fourth or fifth best players on a good team, and yet he's playing with those guys. So there's not much they can do. Jimmy Butler hurt. We know that Kuminga, is he hurt? I don't know what the status is these days. They gave Jimmy Butler $60 million a year. No team is going to want to take on that money and give you something credible, give you something good. So I don't know if there's much they can do. There's not much they can do except for hope for injuries to other teams, knock on wood, which sounds horrible because the Warriors are they're in a bad place if, as far as being contenders.
As far as the names that you believe can transcend a team, I think sometimes we get too wrapped up right in the biggest names around the trade deadline because it's compelling, it's drama. But really, if you go back over the last 3 to 4 years, the teams that have been most successful at the trade deadline aren't the huge moves, it's the value moves to, you know, incrementally improve your roster. So who are some of the names that you are looking at, James, here over the next 5 days or so, whatever it is, 5, 6 days, saying, yeah, this is a guy right here that a team that's on the brink can bring in, and it might be the piece you're missing.
So, Michael Porter Jr., I'm not the biggest fan of his game, but his shot-making is, you can't argue with it. He's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible shot-maker. So, if Jimmy Butler hadn't been hurt, I would have said if they could find a way to get him in Golden State, that would have been a big deal. If you, even any team that right now, I love the Houston Rockets. They're obviously down a point guard. It's a move they can make for a point guard. I don't know who they'd get. Or even they got a guy like MPJ. Michael Porter Jr., because the shot-making is incredible. Who else we got out there? Give me some more names.
DeAndre Hunter. That's a guy that you love, right?
Again, so he's a player that, as we've seen in Cleveland, I think he's been exposed a bit. He's a really good player. He can put up some decent numbers. Well, he's a good player. He can put up some decent numbers. But if you're talking about winning basketball games and swinging your franchise, it's not him. Now, oh, here's a guy for you, Nick Claxton. He's been toiling away for the Nets for a couple of years. He's actually a really good kind of modern point big man where he wants to do is screen and roll, rim run, good shot blocker, strong defender, has a nice little vicious edge to him, right? Plays with like a little mean streak. A guy like that can help a team. He can help a team a lot.
You know, I think there's a couple out there like this, honestly. I mean, he's a bigger name, right? But Ja Morant, I mean, obviously the Grizzlies are listening right now, and we don't know what's going to happen with Ja. But start to look at some of those other names. You mentioned a Michael Porter Jr. If Minnesota is going to get in on the Giannis sweepstakes, it seems like they're going to probably have to move Julius Randle, right? I don't know if he'd be a part of that trade or if you'd look to move on from him elsewhere. But that's another guy, right, that could definitely be a missing piece.
100%. If Minnesota could finagle a trade, Julius Randle has been exceptional this year. It's still Giannis Antetokounmpo. If they can swing a trade for Giannis centered around Julius Randle, 100% have to do it. Because now you're pairing an arrived star like Anthony Edwards with a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo. So that's a 100%. That's a no-brainer if it's possible. Same thing for the Knicks. If we all know Cat has been much maligned these days, and with good reason. But if they could find a way to convince Milwaukee to take Cal Anthony Towns and, I don't know, throw in a bundle of picks and they don't even have like a young guy that really is up and coming. If they can figure that out, even if it was Carlton Towns and Mitchell Robinson, you got to do it. So it's a flawed trade market.
What about R.J. Barrett?
Again, I'm going to say R.J. Barrett, it's analyzing piece. I don't know what his contract looks like. I'm pretty sure it's a pretty sizable, chunky contract. But he's a really good player. Right, he could be a 25-5 guy, not the best guy in a championship team, but if he's your second, third best player, I think you're okay. Also valuable, but again, like Toronto is actually really good this year. Why would they really want to make that move? And are you saying they're going to get Giannis in Toronto? You got to give up a whole lot to get Giannis, and now you're adding him to Scotty Barnes, which is a very tantalizing duo, right? And then so you're thinking probably beyond this year. That would be, you just put that nugget in my brain. I actually like it.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it, Barrett and what his contract looks like in the coming year. So he's got one more pass this season, 29.6 next year. Then you can be off that contract. Meanwhile, you take a look at the rest of the payroll in Toronto. I mean, you got Scotty Barnes locked up until 2030. That's a big deal. You have Brandon Ingram locked up. Jakob Poeltl's locked up all the way until 2030 as well. So you have some big contracts already on the payroll, and that does change things a little bit.
Same thing a lot, because like we know, the second apron cap environment, teams, you might have a year or two of real contention before the ownership is going to get really skittish because of the penalties and the money. And also just roster building. Like they're so punitive with what you cannot do once you get past the second apron that you got a year or two, and you're locked into what you got, and then you're probably going to have to start shedding some salary like Boston just showed you. So that's actually – I didn't realize RJ was making only less than $30 million. He's a really good player. He is definitely a trade chip, and that was a good one.
There's a look at what's happening right now in the NBA. Some possible trades. We're just under a week or over a week away from the deadline, which is going to be next Friday. James, once we get past February 6th, it's really simple, right? It's go time. You got the buyout market that comes right after it. But I mean, as far as what the roster and the construction is going to look like, it is what it is a week from today.
Basically, once a week from today, teams are going to be who they are, and they can tinker on the edges in the buyout market, but that's when, that's where the rubber meets the road, and we see who guys are. Absolutely.
All right. Right now, is anyone close to Oklahoma City in your mind?
I still think full-strength Nuggets can give them a real good run for their money. I think we've seen, I think the Thunder are still maybe head and shoulders above the rest of the league. Maybe these other teams get a little taller because we're seeing a couple of, maybe not signs of weakness of OKC, but points of entry where teams could maybe focus a little bit. We know that Jalen Williams hasn't been quite 100%. We know that their shooting has been suspect outside of Shea scoring wondering. You don't know what you're going to get any night from another guy. So they're still, I think, the class of the league, right? But I think the full-strength Nuggets are the team to watch. And as a lot of people are saying, I think Aaron Gordon's hamstring might be the most pivotal body part, because if he can stay up and healthy and be 80-90% of what he was, they can really push OKC, I think.
I think I'll throw a team into the Eastern Conference. I think the most interesting team over the next week is Cleveland, because I don't think this team has played their best basketball yet. They've now won 8 out of 10. I think they're going to start maneuvering their way up in the Eastern Conference. You can go from 2-5 right in the East and literally in 2 days. I'm curious to see what Cleveland does here over the next week, because I think there's an opening in the East, James. I really do.
I'm sorry, brother. Like you said, maybe they'd make a move, but right now Cleveland is like a fancy restaurant. No dogs. You can't get in there. No dogs allowed, because they just don't have
– got to make a move. You got to make a move. It's there. It's there for the taking is what I'm saying in the East.
But I don't know what move they made, because their problem, I don't think, is anything personnel-wise. They don't have that one player – who will punt? Will knock somebody down? They don't have that one player who will take a hard tech. That one player who will push the boundaries and be super physical with the other team and give them that edge. It's funny to say this, but what was his name? Minivan, the guy they had there. They traded him for the DeAndre Hunter, but he played with that edge, a little nasty, mean streak, a little meanness. And there's just a team of nice guys. And every playoffs we see, the other team starts punching them in the mouth, and they just kind of roll their eyes and sit down. So I don't care what they do personnel-wise. If they don't bring in, for lack of a better word, an enforcer, somebody to light a fire under them, they're not going anywhere.
He is James Holas. He joins us each week to talk NBA basketball. James, it's an exciting week. There's no question about it. 8 days, trade deadline, and then, we can really start talking about the X's and O's from that point on. Always appreciate you taking out the time. Of course, before I let you go, we can talk about where we can find more of you.
Well, you can say it's an exciting week, but my Celtics are 5-5 in the last 10, so I'm not having fun. But you can find me on social media, all platforms. Homage to the great player that Scottie Pippen was, at Snotty Drippin, where I just talk sports, not sports, I talk NBA and just life stuff, and come over there and let's hang out.
Always a pleasure, James. Can't wait to do it again next week. Appreciate the time.
If the Celtics on a losing streak, I'm not coming on.
Might be a couple of weeks before we hear from you again.
All right, brother. Thanks for having me.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We're going to send you out to Aiden Mortensen. He's at the BDAC tonight for USU Eastern Basketball, and I will see you tomorrow. Be safe. I am out.